This is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council studio, Kansas City, this week at the Farm Broadcasting Convention, where we had a session with the Ukrainian farmer Case Huizinga. Now, those of you who are really good at Scandinavian and European accents, you're going to notice he's from the Netherlands. He is a Netherlands native, but he moved to Ukraine a long time ago to start a farm. A dairy farm, a vegetable farm, and then he grew, and now he has several hundred quarters. So we're going to hear from Case Huizinga, farming in a war-torn country, Ukraine.
Yeah, so on our farm, we have been very lucky. We only had one rocket in our village, so that's nothing compared to bigger cities or to farmers in the south or the east or the north of the country, you know, where their farms have been bombed. Dairy farms have been bombed. Dead cows lying all over the place. Dead pigs lying all over the place. That's just terrible to see, you know. And those guys are not farming anymore, of course. They are. It's too dangerous there. Or their fields are still mined. So that's difficult for them to go out there. There's still farmers driving with their tractors in the field and driving on the mine and exploding. That's terrible. And Ukraine lost like 20-25% of its arable surface to the war. But for us, we were very lucky because we don't have that. And we were again lucky because we sold most of our commodities before the war started. But we only had 5,000 metric tons of corn left, and that normally takes us a week to bring to Odessa, and now it took us 4 months to sell it, but because we had to truck it to Romania because the Black Sea was closed. So, that's again minor problems compared to the guys in the occupied areas and in the front line. Yeah, we were already expanding our dairy operation. We have a 2,000-head dairy farm, and we have been building it over the last 10-15 years. And actually, that diversification has been really good for us because we couldn't sell our crops that fast as we were used to, and we can't sell it that fast as now, the new crops which we have brought in. But the milk has always been taken from by the creamery from our farm. They never missed a day, and they paid regularly. And the milk is consumed with of the processed milk is consumed within Ukraine. So that gave us a regular income. And the expansion which we had started before the war, we stopped it because, you know, we were not sure what was going to happen, if we would be occupied, if the bombs would drop on our farm. When you are really in a war situation, you know, and my wife and kids, they also fled the country, then you're in panic. You don't know... You just don't know what's going to happen, you know, but after a while you get used to it, and statistically you think the chances are not that big that our farm gets hit. We picked up the expansion of the dairy farm again because we can't sell the heifers. There's no market for it. We can't export them. We can't sell our slaughter cows really for a good price. So our existing barns are overcrowded, and in this summer or beginning of the summer, we picked up construction again and expanding our dairy. And you were talking about a neighbor with 20,000 cows, so that's my new goal now for for the future. It's also because, like, we have 350 employees; a lot of them work on the dairy farm. You know, it's also their stability. It's not only the stability of the company, it's also the stability of our employees. And for pure arable farming, you don't need a lot of people. Adding value to the acres we farm is a good thing in general for Ukraine and also for our farm. So, yeah, that's what we do. And looking to the future, sooner or later, this war will be over, with your support, of course.
Also visiting with us from Ukraine, economist and economics professor Antonina Broyaka was asked how much has been lost because of the war.
We lost around 25% of our arable land, and that is because of bombing. It was physically destroyed and also occupied areas. But talking about crops, this year we harvested almost 30%, more than 30% less than previously. And it means that not only Ukraine will not get enough income from selling this crops, this grain, but also the world will not get that food from us. For next year, it seems to me even more complicated because for this year, farmers were more, you know, thinking perspective, and they had some fertilizers stored before, right, and some seeds. But now for next year, it's getting much more complicated because, first of all, there is some shortage of fertilizers and the prices are higher and prices for fuel, so the inputs would be higher. And, of course, we have some shortage of seeds, some banks of seeds been destroyed as well, so it's even hard to genetically create new varieties. So we will definitely need some support to get this. And talking about American support for now, there is a project which now currently is taking place in Ukraine. This AGRI, supported by USAID, and they really working hard to help us to solve this problem. But we still will have less harvest next year, at least the same 30% as this year.
I can add, like, the Russians are intentionally bombing civilian infrastructure. They are destroying the electricity infrastructure, and we have a few very big nitrogen fertilizer plants in Ukraine, and they can't work now because they don't have the electricity, and gas obviously also comes from Russia, so that's also in short supply. So they don't produce nitrogen, and you all know that not using nitrogen on your corn or your wheat, that dramatically decreases your yield and your quality. So next year is going to be a bigger problem yield-wise than this year. And paradoxically enough, this year the farmers in the east, in the Donbas area, they had their highest yields ever because of favorable weather conditions. As Antonina said, they already were prepared for the season, which we are now finishing. So they had the fertilizer, so everything was on that fields, and they had very good yields, but again, difficulties to export it. You know, the truckers are not all very willing to drive in the direction of the front line and bring that commodities to the Black Sea port. So, and that also creates liquidity problems for the farmers, with which they cannot buy the expensive fertilizers, which have gone through the roof. Yeah, so the worst is still to come if we don't solve this quickly.
My belief that this agreement will continue because it's not only about Ukraine. This is about import-dependent countries, poor Asian or African countries that really need our grain. And even despite the war, Ukraine continued, and I'm really proud of our farmers. We continue to grow this grain, and we even gifted some grain to Ethiopia and other countries just for free because they really starve. So I hope it will continue. And all countries like G20 and other countries will support this. Let's talk about maybe sunflower oil, since Ukraine is number one in sunflower oil export, and our share in total world export is 46%. And even Russia not so close to us. Even with the war, we will still number one. We process usually 97% of our oil seeds production. So and usually from that processed oil we sell, we export more than 80%, around 87%. So, but if ports will be blocked, right, we don't have storages to keep those seeds. We don't have storages, especially to keep sunflower oil. It means that ports will block, would be blocked. We will not process. So there is no necessity. It means that our processing plants will stop, unfortunately.
Yeah, that oil goes in really big ships. Like you have the grain ships with 60,000-70,000 tons. You have the same kind of oil ships, you know. And I talked to one processor, and he had to export 36,000 tons of sunflower oil per month. You know, that's only one processor. And I mean, if you do that by if you want to do that by trucks. I mean, it's amazing. There's not that many trucks in Europe which can transport sunflower oil, and it's only one processor, and there's like 13 or 14 of them. So it's without the Black Sea, everything is completely impossible.
That is Ukrainian farmer Kees Huizinga from the Netherlands, but lives and farms in Ukraine. His children have moved back to the Netherlands. He's in and out of Ukraine. Antonina Broyaka, an economics professor in Ukraine, whose children left the Ukraine. Her husband is still there.